Father, we thank you for tonight. We are persuaded that your spirit will fall upon us. We are persuaded that you will activate men and shift them into dimensions in the spirit necessary for the advancement of your ordination upon the face of the earth. Thank you, Lord, because you will do us good tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Be seated. I want to share with us for about 30 minutes or so. We have a lot of activities for tonight, and it's important I share following this pathway. The theme of our conference is Go Ye Into All the Worlds. It's important for you to understand the weight of that utterance captured in scriptures. If you don't know the weight of that utterance, you will not understand why it can serve as a theme of a conference. When God begins to recruit men, he is into a serious business. Men can converge before the Lord and he dishes out blessings. It is captured in his benevolence to do that. One of the names of God is the name El Shaddai. And as El Shaddai, he is the multi-breasted one that gives out continually and never depletes in essence. So it's in the nature of God to continually bless his people in abundance. But when God wants to make men and send them to facilitate divine agenda, then he's doing a business that is not with babes but with sons. And so it's important for us to examine the weight of what God wants to do that necessitates this conference and this convergence this evening. And so I want to share a few things with us. First of all, to open our understanding to the kind of world we are going into. I told you yesterday, it's not just the word of men. If it's a word of men, you can come with charisma and please them. If it's a word of men, you can come with show in the flesh and they will clap for you. But unfortunately, you are being sent into a world manipulated by spirits. You are being sent into a world where spirits have interest, and the interest of these spirits is consistent with their nature. And some of the natures of this spirit are wicked, and so they will wreak wickedness, brutality and evil. It's a world where your life can be at stake. So you need to understand the world where God is sending you to. Number two, you need to understand the kind of equipping that you need in order to bring the frontiers of the government of God to the next level, even as you carry out this divine mandate. If you don't know the kind of equipping that you require, you will think you will just go into the world. That you are available is not enough. You need to be equipped to do kingdom business. So you need to understand the kind of equipping that is necessary for this assignment and what to do in order to step into this equipping. And number three, you also need to know how to consolidate when you begin to make progress in this assignment. So it's a very serious matter that we need to contemplate cognitively in order to make the most of. It's not something we just want to be excited about. When children gather, excitement is enough. But when men gather, they talk inheritance. It is not enough to be excited. It's enough to know how it works. It's enough to understand the stakes involved. It's enough to know how to make the most of the assignment. Excitement alone is not enough. This is why these kinds of conferences are very important, so that you can step up your game in your walk with God. Are you with me? If you are with me tonight, say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Yahweh is here. Yahweh, Yahweh. Hey, 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 hey.
Yahweh, Yahweh. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is with my holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is with my holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is with Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, 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 Yahweh, hey, 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 Yahweh, hey, 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 hey.
Please sit down for a moment. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, it was time for him to do kingdom business. You know, when he came into the world and was walking the face of the earth, he was teaching the kingdom. But everything he was doing was to try to change their minds. The whole message was about repentance, because a kingdom was coming. He needed to commit kingdom to their hands, but they needed a change of mindset. So he was teaching them the message of repentance. But when he resurrected, two things happened. The first thing that happened was that they were born again. So they received eternal life. And what eternal life did for them was to admit them into the kingdom. Because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that they have been born again, Jesus wanted to commit to them the oracles of God as touching the kingdom of God. And Jesus began to instruct them. The Bible told us in Acts chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2, it said Jesus began to command them of all that he both began to do and to teach. And he was trying to commit to them the kingdom of God. So he went to heaven and returned to earth again, spent 40 days with them, teaching them about the kingdom. When he was done instructing them, he now said, go into all the worlds. Go into all the worlds. Go into all the worlds. Not just win the world, but disciple them. Bring them into the ways of the kingdom. And I began sharing with us yesterday. I told us that all the worlds is not just a gathering or a congregation of men. Because before men came to the earth realm, there were spirits here. There were spirits in this realm before men came. The Bible revealed to us that there was war in heaven. Revelation chapter 12. It said there was war in heaven. And from verse 7, it said the great serpent, which was the dragon, was defeated by Michael and his angels. And he said that serpent was cast into the earth. And he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the great deceiver had come. So before man came to the visible realm, there were spirits already in this realm. And you know, it was not just demons. He was talking about cherubims of glory. If it was demons, we wouldn't have had a problem. Because the easiest way to deal with a demon is to refuse him possessing your body. And if a demon possesses a man, all you need to do is to cast out that demon, but not a prince. When a principality comes into a territory, he's not looking at possessing men. He wants to take over the governing system of that territory, because he wants to lord over men. So when Paul showed up in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Remember, when you are dealing with demons, all you need to do is, in the name of Jesus, get out. But when you are dealing with a prince, he said, you will wrestle. You will wrestle. You don't cast them out. You fight. Because these beings contend for territories. These beings contend for systems. These beings contend for civilization. So he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the same world that God sent you to. He said, these princes have come to make darkness of this world. So you are not coming into a world that is just obsolete or desolate, waiting for you to come and occupy. You are coming into a world that princes have made a dark habitation. That's why he said, the habitation of the earth is places, the places of cruelty. There is darkness upon the earth because one of the fallen princes have made this world a dark world, and he didn't stop there. He said, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So when you see pregnant women being butchered, it is not an act of human intelligence. It's a function of the expression of the character of a spirit that is called wicked spirits in heavenly places. So they can come upon men in form of religion. They can come upon men in form of political affiliations. They can come upon men for any reason at all that characterizes a system. But by all means, their character must be manifested. So when you are going into all the world, you are going to contend with spirits over territory. That's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because there are other governments on the face of the earth. We are coming to contend for territories. We are coming to contend for rulership. We are coming to contend for dominion. So when Jesus said, go into all the world, he was not talking about occupying space. He was talking about establishing government. And the way to establish government is to remove another government to plant your own. When he said, thy kingdom come, it was a statement of war. But it is first of all war in the spirit. So when he said, go into all the worlds, he knew what he was saying. That's why he didn't send them out to all the worlds when they were with him as babes. He had to wait until they received certain credentials that was necessary to enact such a mandate. I told us yesterday that some of the weapons that these princes are using, one is the weapon of seduction. And what seduction does is to blind your understanding so that the things of God no longer make sense to you. This is why men go into politics and suddenly intercessors of rank enter politics and they begin to live after pleasure. It's because they interacted with a spirit of seduction. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, who are blinded. It is the spirit of this world that blinds men, and the weapon of that spirit is seduction. That's why I say, love not the world, for they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because there is a prince in the world that manifests in the form of seduction. You can come to campus because you have a vision of becoming a leader tomorrow. But while you are transiting through campus to your place of glory, there is a prince that will connect you on campus. And that prince will let you know that it's foolishness to be a virgin. That prince will let you know that your friends that are going clubbing, they are having a good time. Meanwhile, you were passing through the campus to ascend the throne in the future. But between your transit and your destination, there is a seductive spirit that will minister to you. And if you are not focused and know where you are going to, for a moment, you will forget that there is a throne awaiting you. And you will waste your destiny in the transit path. Because there is a power of seduction in the world. And that's not all. I told you also there is a power of deception. Deception will come to make you know that what you believe is a lie. So suddenly the characters and the goodwill and the instructions that you receive while growing up, you come and you throw them away by a moment. Because all of a sudden you assume that the things you know no longer count. They told you before that it's not right to cheat. That there is merit in labor. But while you came to school, a spirit of deception makes you understand that everybody is cheating. If you cheat, you will pass. If you go out there, nothing goes wrong. You didn't know that when you were cheating, you were being recruited. Because it was never about the exam. It was about your destiny. It was never about the exam. It was about your soul. You can pass your exam by cheating, but you have mortgaged your destiny. So when you step out of campus and the government of favor is supposed to work for you, you traded favor for A and B. But you didn't know that when you were walking through campus, there were transactions going on. It is called the deception of this age. There is a spirit called the spirit of violence. And what it does is to enact terror. So you came on campus, all of a sudden, you think it's about joining courtesy. that gives you rank. And when you become a courtist, your conscience is maligned and your conscience is seared as with a hot iron. And all of a sudden you begin to perpetrate wickedness and you think that's the way of life. What you don't know is that a demon of terror has taken over you. This is the same thing you see with the sons of the bondwomen today. They kill people and they think they are advancing religion. They kill people, they think they are advancing God. It's a lie. It's a prince of violence. It's in the world. What you see on campus is just a measure of what is happening in the world. My friend and elder brother, Apostle Ungu here, are some of the few people that have constantly lifted their voices to cry against wickedness. They can tell you what is happening just in Benue State here where you are. And this is just Benue State. You don't know what is happening when you cover the whole of Nigeria. You don't know what is happening when you cover the whole of Africa. You don't know what is happening when you cover the globe. There is wickedness and cruelty in the world that God is sending you to. And who knows where you are going to. The problem is that if you don't go to where God sends you to, you will not be relevant in eternity. Because the journey of destiny is not creativity. The journey of destiny is yieldedness and obedience. So where you are going to is not the point. How prepared are you? There is wickedness in the world awaiting you. There are deaths, there are killings, there are rapes. All kinds of evil are out there. And God saw it. He said, go into the world. Why didn't he save you from the world? Why is he sending you to the world? Because there is something that when you carry, the world cannot stand you. He knows. So you are not going to the world as a vulnerable person. You are not going to the world as a victim. You are going to the world as an ambassador of a government that is superior to everything in the visible realm. The problem most time is that we have not received the right equipping. So when we go into the world, the things that we should challenge becomes the things that threaten our existence. So there is a necessity for the body of Christ to be equipped yet again, so that when men enter into the political corridor, they know what to say to change tides. Your brothers in politics that are walking from darkness, they know the colonels they chew before they speak. They don't speak because they schooled in Harvard. They don't speak because they school in Oxford. They school because they are empowered by dark covens to bring utterances that men cannot get saying. So the guy can come and say, I am the chosen one. And all of a sudden, everybody say, Rakadete. It's not because what he said was sweet to hear. There is a spiritual energy that have mobilized his utterance so that whatever he says, he commands your obedience. So you also who is coming from the kingdom of light, in addition to your certificate, there is a grace that you must carry into all the worlds. There is a dimension you must carry into all the worlds. When you carry that dimension, you are no longer somebody going there to survive. You become an emissary of Zion. There is wickedness in the world. People don't care if you are a mediocre, but the day you begin to make a difference, you become an enemy of everybody. It's called the spirit of wickedness. You are a young girl, you are a young boy, so it may not make sense to you, but I counsel you, receive equipping tonight, because when you begin to rise, you will see it. There is wickedness in the world. They want to truncate your family. They want to destroy your vision for no just cause. But we know we come with a verdict from Zion. He said to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. He said, who is he that seeth the thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not ordained? He said, Savior shall arise from Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Israel. So it doesn't matter what is in the world. We have come. We have come. That's the verdict of Zion. Go into all the worlds. But I tell you this because Paul said, be not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. If you are ignorant, you will become a casualty, because you will not know the level of preparation required. You will not know. If you are ignorant, you will think it's just about a good message. There are many people preaching very sound messages, but they cannot permeate the dark cloud of their territory. There are many people preaching messages today that if the body of Christ were to hear, people will come into maturity in a matter of months, but there are spirits that have shielded them and covered their utterance. They can't penetrate because they think it's about message. So they've gone to the Bible schools. They have all the exegesis, but they don't have what it takes to pierce through the cloud. I came to equip you today so that you will start early, because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, the Lord said, thou have ordained strength that thou mightest steal the mouth of the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes
and shortly.
There are many young people that are about to rise that will defy the status quo. There are many young people that are about to rise with superlative dimensions of intelligence, graces that the world cannot gainsay, because they have taught something that is of heaven. Hey, hallelujah. There are different spirits in the world that wants to make a slave of a generation. So God is raising witnesses and functionaries that they can send there. We don't run from evil. We are the change the world is looking for. We are not trying to be saved. We are the security of the universe. That's why I say you are the salt of the earth. If you live here, this world will be destroyed. So we are not intimidated by violence. We carry something that can shut the voice of violence. We are not intimidated by the powers of seduction. There is a government that we represent. When it shows up, it can silence the mouth of the avenger. We are not praying to God, please save us. He has sent us to the world to bring safety to the generations of the world. We are the safety that the world is looking for. But we must be equipped. That's why I say he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. There is an equipping that a man carries. Like the psalmist, he will say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's a man speaking in the valley of the shadow of death. What did he carry? There is a weapon. That's why he said, by my God, I ran through a troop. I leaped over a wall. He fought 44 battles. He didn't know conquest, because he's a ruler from the realms of Zion. So battles don't scare him. It is in battle that is glorified, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So if the world was full of light, there wouldn't have been a need to send you. It's because there is darkness in the world. That's why he sent you. But you must be equipped, because there are graces that are allocated to the church of the last day. There are dimensions that the world have not seen that we are about to step into. There are weapons that are in Zion that men must wield in this generation. Thank God for what the Father saw. But the Bible said behind them is a desolate wilderness. Everything they have seen in time past is a desolate wilderness. There is a generation coming that can silence the voice of the avenger. There's a generation coming that can quench the violence of fire. There's a generation coming that can command the dead to return to life. Holy God. The battle of the last day is the battle of gods. It's not for men, because we will not only fight with men, we will contend with spirits. That's why Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We fight spirits. He said we wrestle against principalities and powers. These are gods in the demonic realm. But there are men that will grow in so much stature that they can stand and command the prince of Egypt to go back. There are men that will grow in so much stature, they can command the prince of Babylon to go back. There are men that will grow in stature, they can command the prince of Benue, go back. But there's an equipping. It's not just about a message. It's about the witness. And I began sharing with us yesterday. I said, these are things deeper than Bible study. They are oracles of God committed to men that can journey to the bowels of the Father. There are places in Zion that men must walk upon to be able to bring the government of the celestial. There is a government in Zion that is only committed to men that have stepped there. If you don't step there, you won't know how those weapons are wielded. You can't understand it. You see, I know a man many years ago. He was, whether in the body or in the flesh, I can't tell. But I know he was carried to the third heavens. So when he came back, he was speaking the language of Zion. John said, I, John, your brother in tribulation, I was among the captives by the river Kabar. That was Ezekiel. And I saw visions of God. Ah! John said, I was in the eye called Patmos, and I heard a sound as of a trumpet, and as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. There was a voice that spoke to him. He called it the voice of the seven thunders. And when he wanted to write, he said, write them not. This one is can't be taught. It can only be committed to men that journey. That's why I told you, the first equipping that you need is the equipping of the presence of God. Men that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The Bible said, they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. It shall not come near you. With your eyes you will see, and behold the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the God, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil can befall you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first equipping that this man needs is the presence. If you don't carry the presence, you will be eaten up with your doctrine. Doctrines are important. They shape the boundary of our possibility in God. But the weapons we fight with, they are of the Spirit. Blessed is the man that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of his God, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my refuge and my fortress. He shall not be afraid of the arrows by day, nor the evil that wasted in noonday, nor the pestilence that stalked by noonday. He said, 1,000 shall fall by his side, 10,000 by his right hand. He shall not come near him, for his eyes he will see, and behold the recompense of the wicked, because he has made God, even the Most High, his habitation. When God wanted to send Moses to Egypt, those were technocrats. They had the best knowledge in the world. The culture of education emanated from Egypt. You can't teach them. They are masters of intelligence. They are masters of science. They are masters of medicine. Mental knowledge is not enough. So he had to come with the rod of the presence. And the Bible said in Exodus 13:21, it said the pillar of glory and the pillar of fire went after them by day, and by night it remained upon them. And so long as the glory canopy was there with the staff, they could bring down Egypt. We have many people that want to go into the world, but they are bereft of the presence of God. Dry men coming with certificates and intelligence to challenge princes that rule in the demonic. Do you know the courts in heaven where those guys bargain for verdict? Job said the sons of God came before God, and he said Satan also showed up. They understand the mystery of litigation and legislation. They understand the mystery of the birthings of civilization. They understand the mystery of establishment of government. They don't just speak. They know what it means to participate in court sessions. Without the canopy of the presence, there will be no power to bring government to our territory. Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed to carry so much of it. In Matthew 17 verse 2, he says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment began to glister. And when he stepped down from the mountain, he said the demon possessed saw him and began to cry. The spirits know the carriers of the presence, and they know those who are speaking English language. We want to change our world. We must pay the price to host the presence of God.
We must pay the price. Sit down for a second. Two ways of carrying the presence quickly. One is by protracted prayers. Consistent and protracted prayer. The presence of God is not a gift. It's an entrustment. It's an entrustment. If you don't make that place your habitation, you can't carry it. You will talk about it, but you will not have it. Because when a man stays there for long, the presence travels with him as a testimony of the depths he has traveled to. It was Benihim that told us that when you enter there, the presence comes with you. It comes with you. That's why Jesus prayed. The fashion of his countenance was altered. In Exodus 34 verse 29, the Bible said when Moses descended from Mount Sinai, he wished not that his face shone. So even though he was not aware, because he has prayed through, the presence came with him as a token to his generation. There are many people involved in activity. Very few are holding to the horns of the altar. And so long as we don't hold to the horn of the altar, the people will ask us, where is your God? That's why I say, let the priest weep between the pouches and the altar, so that the people will not say, where is your God? When we tarry there, there is a commodity of heaven we are looking for. It's called the ambience of the presence. The presence of God is the government of his realm. When a man carries it, evil will naturally step back. He said, when Israel came out of Egypt, he said, the sea saw them and fled. He said, Jordan went back. And he said, oh sea, why fledest thou? Oh Jordan, why goest thou backward? And even the earth responded. He said, let all the earth tremble at the presence of God. Even creation knows when the presence of God appears, because it's terrible in battle. When it shows up, his jealousy is invested. When it shows up, his dimensions and attributes are manifested. Even the worst of the wicked demons know that the best thing to do is to run back. This is what the great patriarchs of old that wrought so much deliverance for Jacob knew. I told you yesterday how that Moses pursued the presence above all things. He said, I will not go with you, but I will send my angel before you. He said, we will not depart from here. If your presence does not go with us, I know I didn't take Egypt because I'm a mighty prophet. I took Egypt because your presence came with me. I don't need an angel. An angel can be an addition to your presence. But if your presence does not go with us, we will not depart from here. I didn't take Egypt because I was a technocrat. I didn't take Egypt because I was a mighty prophet. I took Egypt because your presence came with me. And many times, God will deliberately withdraw from Moses. He will stop. For 40 years, they didn't take a step until the glory cloud came upon them. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 21, when God decided to hide himself, the Bible says Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. If God will not come, there is no need going forward. Because without the presence, we are doomed. This was the heritage and the ordinance that Moses transferred to the children of Israel. And when Balaam was to curse them, he said, you can't do anything against these people. There's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. Why? The shout of the king is in their midst. They don't even need to know their enemy are coming. The presence will become a canopy. This was what Samuel carried. The Bible said in the school of the prophets in Nayot Ramah, the presence of God saturated the environment. So much so that when Saul sent an army to attack Samuel, Samuel didn't know. But the presence was a pillar of protection. And when all the armies came, they laid down and began to prophesy. Samuel himself stood up in rage and entered. The moment he entered the canopy of the presence, the Bible said he prophesied naked all night. There is a measure of the presence that we host that even Boko Haram will go back. They have the advantage of the government. The army is sabotage. Do you think you have any strategy to contend them with them? You need to carry something supernatural. And that thing is the presence of God. And the presence of God does not have regard for age. You can be a little boy. If you carry it, you will create a change that elders cannot create. And you can be an elder. If you carry it, your age notwithstanding, you will become a deliverer in Jacob. The Bible says all the days of Samuel, the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistine. Samuel didn't fight with bows and arrows. He fought with the presence of God. All the days of his life, the hand of God was against the Philistine. You want to go into all the world? There must be a rich investment of the presence of God on your life. Prayer provokes the presence. Worship provokes the presence. This is why in the tabernacle of old, what opens the realm of the Shekinah is the altar of incense. You can do business at the altar of sacrifice, you are still far from the presence. You can do business at the laver, you are still far from the presence. You can do business at the altar of shewbread, you are still far from the presence. You can do business with the menorah, you are still far from the incense, from the presence. When you come to the altar of incense, then the presence is about to open to you. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, when the priests were done worshipping the Lord, he said the presence of God came into the temple and they were unable to stand to minister. We don't have prayer and we don't have worship. We only have preachers. That's why pastors that should help to reduce the problem in most cases are compounding issues. It's pathetic, but it's true. Number two, you want to be sent into all the world and create change, you must carry the fire of God. Nothing scares the demonic realm like the fire of God. A man can speak wisdom and still live comfortably with demons. Jesus was speaking wisdom at the age of 12. There were demons in the tabernacle. But when he received the baptism of fire, the moment he came into the sanctuary, every demon began to flee. And I told them the reason in the morning. The Bible said in Ezekiel 28 verse 18, it said, by the multitude of thy merchandise, you have corrupted thy sanctuary by thy iniquity and thy trafficking. He said, therefore I will cause the fire that is within you to burn you to ashes. So every time fire shows up, it reminds the demonic realm of the messianic judgment. A man who does not carry fire cannot bring witness in the last day. That's why in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, it said, he maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers flames of fire. How do you contact the fire of God? Is to make yourself an offering. When you go into the world with a gain mentality, you can't bear the fire of God. Because the code of service is selflessness. A man who goes into the world for gain cannot bring government and kingdom. He will only go there and join them because he has already provided a basis for bargain. Because the moment you show up, the princes begin to check you to find out what is your price. What is the angle they can bargain from? So if there is still something that you are holding on to that provoke your motivation to go out there, you are already falling before you started. So the only men that can carry the fire to bring witness to their world are men that have become a burnt offering to the Lord. And in scriptures, every time an offering is presented to God, the fire of God falls upon it. We have people going to government today claiming they are going there in the name of the Lord, singing the name of Jesus and quoting scripture. But behind them is a very selfish and self-centered desire. That's why the moment they go there, that throne swallows them up. The only man that throne cannot swallow is a selfless man, because there will be no basis for bargain. And that man is God's offering. And when God's offering shows up, the fire must fall. You want to carry the fire of God? It's not just prayer. You must become a sacrifice. That's why I said, dearly beloved, I beseech you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is what the fire of God will restore. Number two, what provokes the fire of God is a desire, a passion, and a hunger to carry that fire. He said the fire on the altar must not be put out. Leviticus 6:12. The priest must put wood on it every morning. If you don't have passion for fire, you can't nurture it. It takes a lot to sustain the fire of God. You see a man who is on fire for God, his life is a narrow path. There are many things that ordinary men do that they can't do. In order to sustain that fire, they live as sacrificial lambs. You can't be everywhere and carry the fire of God. You can't be into every relationship and carry the fire of God. Through desire, a man having separated himself, intermeddled with all wisdom. There must be a desire that provokes a separation for the fire to rest upon you. Everywhere they are gisting, you are there. They say they are gathering for politics, you are there. They are watching football, you are there. And you say you are a candidate for fire. Your desire is not strong enough. When your desire is strong enough, you will fan it to flame every morning. Every morning. You will live perpetually at the fire to keep the fire burning.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you mighty God. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you mighty God. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Most of us, our altars have become ashes, but we know how to preach loud and fast. Volume is not what creates change. It's the efficacy of the Spirit communicated because of the intensity of His fire. There are few people still burning for God. So when they show up, they are talking, but in the demonic realm, they are ashes. And they are looking at them. What is he saying? What are you saying? You can't bring witness to this realm. The gates of this realm, only fire can open it, and you don't carry it. So we have no regard for your utterance. Even though you sound so philosophical, you don't have power in the realm where it matters. When a man is on fire, spirits respect him. Number three, what do you need as a credential to go into all the world? Knowledge. There are many Christians who are not informed about anything. They are just praying and saying the grace of God is sufficient. You are a joker. The grace of God is not just a baseless reality. Paul said, I labor more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So one of the manifestations of the grace of God is labor. The grace of God is not idleness. Sitting down and say, God will do it. You are joking. A man who is laboring is actually functioning under a high level of grace. But hyper grace people who have no basis for what they say will come and let you know that labor is absence of grace. Paul said, by grace I labor more than them all. So labor is a dimension of grace. They know nothing. You put them to work at the airline, many planes will begin to crash because they don't know how it works. Put them in government, they are confused. Even the speech they deliver, somebody else will write it for them. They can't even interact with the burden of the people. How can you change your world when obviously you are incompetent? There is no God that negates the place of competence, because God is not incompetent. The very first revelation of God reveals him as the author of knowledge. He began as creator, revealing the expertise and the excellencies of wisdom. So the God we serve is the foundation of knowledge and wisdom. You can't be going to politics and you know nothing, and then you are hoping you'll be governor. Even God will make sure you don't go there, unless you use another means other than God. Because if you go there, you will make your people go backward. That's the state where we are. The Bible said the people of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light, because they know how business work. They know how ministry work. They know how government work. They know how the economy work. There are many believers who can't even pass their exams. and they are hoping they will pass the test of life. They don't have enough focus and diligence to pass exam. You see failures from school going out and saying they are bringing change. Who change? When you can't create change in your biology and physics, is it the government of Benue State will bring change in? Is it the market? Do you know the complex intelligence that is required to regulate the stock market? Do you know the level of check and balancing that goes on there? Do you know the level of economic predictions that take place in that corridor? And then you can't pass basic economy or economics, and you are saying you want to change the stock market. You have no place there. So many Christians are lascivious, failing in basic things, but they want to use God to validate their failure, and they don't know the lives of men depend on it. So somebody is just operated of appendix and he dies because a doctor forgot a blade in his belly. That's the generation of people using the name of God to excuse the required labor that they should put in to work their destiny. It doesn't work like that. You must be guarded with sufficient knowledge. And there are three kinds of knowledge you must have. The first knowledge is the knowledge of God. The second knowledge is the knowledge of who you are in God. The third knowledge is the knowledge of how the systems of this world work. Don't go into a city if you don't know how the economy of that city works. You will pray and die a poor prayer warrior, and your government, your ministry will go nowhere. Don't go into politics and you don't know how politics work. I am a preacher, but I've listened to almost every speech by Barack Obama. I've listened to almost every speech by Winston Churchill. I sit down and listen to, sometimes Barack Obama is speaking for 2 hours, not consulting any book, giving dates, statistics, data from here. It takes diligence to function there. That's how the government works. You need to have data. You need to have statistics. You need to know how to fraternize. You need to know how to speak to a large congregation. You need to know how to touch the needs of the people. You don't just wake up and say, God, make me a governor. You will never become. But unfortunately, that's what many Christians are doing. A point came, it looks as if all the fellowship leaders failed. And when you ask them, they say, oh boy, the burden of ministry is laziness, lack of focus, lack of diligence, and gross incompetence. You can't pass exam as a fellowship president. Is it a ministry you can run? Living Faith, for instance, they have universities, they have secondary schools, they have a printing press where they print, include even the Bible. He has a traveling ministry. They have a Bible school. All of these things are like companies. So one pastor is holding over 7 companies. And they have territories they have bought, like a town that they regulate. The man controls all of it and is still excelling in ministry. And you are JCCF president or NIFES president or FCS president. And you say, oh boy, the burden of this ministry is not easy. It's hard. And then you wake up after failing grossly on campus. You say, we are going to take Nigeria, Africa. Wait for us, we are coming. Wait, where you came out from? What happened? Let me talk to you about the knowledge of who you are, then I'll talk to you briefly about how the system works. I will tell you the mentality of billionaires. Because the kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. We must know how to make money. There's nothing carnal about success yet. There's nothing carnal about making money and wealth. Because if you don't have it, your ministry will remain in the cave until you go to meet the Lord. And I can assure you, most of the people preaching are making it look as if it's carnal. Today they are building institutions that are multi-million institutions, naira and dollar. Who are you? If I asked you now, what would you say? You will define yourself based on earthly standard. That's why you don't have the advantage of the spirit. The first person you are to begin to advance kingdom is a son. if your walk with God have not come to a level where you begin to function as a son, I tell you the truth, there is no territory you can take for Jesus. There are two things about a son I want to explain quickly. The first thing about a son is that a son carries the body of his father. Many believers today, if you say let us pray for marriage, this building will come down. But if you say let's pray for Benue State, they will not have utterance anymore, because they don't know what troubles the heart of God. It is only their needs that motivates them. They have not grown in maturity. When you still live around your personal need, you are still a baby. It's only a baby that cries for milk. Every time he cries, he needs something. When a son begins to cry, the father is in need. So when a man grows to the level of a son, he begins to bear the burdens of the father. Number two, a son walks with the consciousness of inheritance. In Romans chapter 8 verse 17, it says we are joint heirs with Christ. That's the realm of sons. In Galatians 4:1, it says the heir, so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant. So a son has grown from a child to where he can take possession of what he owns with God. So when a son enters a territory, he's not troubled about how it will work. He knows it must work, because I have the resources of heaven backing me up. And it's not just a feeling, it's a reality that he can command any day, anytime. So when a son comes to a place, if nothing works, he can command the moon to stand. He can command the sun to stand. Everything works to his advantage. When a son carries water, water can become a weapon. A son can drink water and give you, say, go and pour it where your business is. And that business will begin to prosper. There is something he has. It's called divine inheritance. But before you walk in the realm of a son, number one, you must be led by the Spirit of God. You are not just born again. Every child of God is born again. It's not eternal life that makes you a son. Eternal life makes you a child. What makes you a son is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You see, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many as are born of God. As many as are born of God are the children of God. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There are many people today living their life by assumptions and chance. They marry by assumption. The place where they are living now is by assumption. The job they are doing is by assumption. They speak about the Holy Ghost, they don't know his voice. Sons don't wonder. We walk into inheritance, because we know the one leading us. So until a man becomes a son, he doesn't have the knowledge of who he is in Christ. Number two, what makes you a son is the constant progressive transformation you enjoy because you constantly look upon him. Because what makes you a son is the ability to bear the image of the Father. He said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So until a man can embody the image of God, he's not a son. He may be a child, but he's not a son. And what gives you the power to bear the image of God? We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. You want to go into all the world? You must be led by the Spirit of God, and you must be able to reflect and represent the image of God. There are many believers today that reflect lying spirit and seductive spirit. When you start talking, they say you are being religious. But when you look at them, everything about them reveals another spirit. In fact, if you are gullible and you interact with them, after 2 days, you may start lying or you may start fornicating. And they are there saying, no, me, I'm not a religious man. Not knowing that they are containers of spirits apart from God. Number two, you are a priest. I know we are a generation where people pride themselves with titles of apostles and prophets. God didn't send apostles and prophets to all the world. You will be shocked. He didn't send evangelists to all the world. He didn't send pastors and teachers to all the world. He sent witnesses to the world. And the office of a witness is not a gift. You grow into it. And these are the criteria of a witness. A son can be an apostle. A son can be a prophet. But a prophet or an apostle may not be a son. So I'm telling you foundational things that affect everybody that has come into maturity. Enough to advance the kingdom. You are a priest. And what do priests do? Priests litigate and they legislate. The journey from the outer court to the inner court to the Holy of Holies is not just to behold the presence, it's to bring legislation first on behalf of Israel. So when a priest is laboring, he is carrying the blood to transact atonement for Israel. So the journey of priesthood is a journey of legislation and litigation. That's why a priest begins from the altar of sacrifice, because he must become selfless to be able to do business of litigation. When a priest is entering the Holy of Holies, he carries the 12 names of Israel, 6 on 2 of his shoulders, 6 on the right, 6 on the left. So it's the body of the people that a priest carries. He steps into the presence of God to bring judgment and verdict in the favor of the people of God. But there are many people today, they have no burden for people. They only have burden for themselves and their families. They have not grown. They have not grown. So even though they are born again, they cannot walk in the rights that citizens of Zion walk in. Because in this kingdom, for you to function in the authority of the citizen of Zion, you must become a priest. I've made you a kingdom of priests. You have walked through this campus. You have seen all kinds of iniquity. You have never raised an altar on this campus against immorality, against manipulation, against wickedness, against oppression of students. Is it when you get to Nigeria that you raise an altar? If you are not a priest on campus, you won't be a priest in Nigeria, unless God gives you another encounter. But for you to be able to go into all the wars and make change, you must become a priest. I heard about Prophet Wole Oke in 1988. He went around Nigeria for 3 days, fasting and praying, and praying for three hours in every state. There were 26 states then. Three hours. When he came to Lagos, he prayed for 7 hours. And today, when these men speak and things happen, you think it's because they are GOs. You can become a GO of a big church. You will not have authority in the territory. What confers territorial authority upon you is the length of the rod of your priesthood. Going to all the wars is not child's play. I know most of the baby Christians here now, they have been bored. But we are talking business of elders. So if you have been bored, don't worry. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Any year you come to understand these things, we thank God. But the Lord will give you speed. You must become a priest to be able to bring government. Number 3, you must become a king. A king is one that has understood his authority in Christ, so he can walk in it any day, anytime. Sir, at least to the measure that I have grown, there are many things I don't need to pray for. I only command and they happen. And we must constantly grow the horn of our kingship, constantly, because we need it to be able to take our world. Who is a king? A king is a ruler. So he walks in the reality of his authority in Christ. There are many believers that all they know is to beg God. And God is wondering, when will you grow up? And when they are begging God, they think they are doing God a favor. They think they are being good Christians. And morning till night, they are begging God. They are begging God. How many times do you beg your earthly father to get things done? Even the things they need to eat, they are begging God to give them food. And the Bible said, as wicked as your earthly parents are, will you ask them for stone and they give you bread? If you don't need to beg your father for your father to know, you need to eat. Is it God you need to come and cry and pull your clothes and be naked by 12 midnight for God to know that you need food? It's babyhood Christianity. When you grow into the realm of kingship, you will stand up and say, I command the doors of favor to open. He said, your sons and your daughters will come from afar. He says, strangers will stand to build thy walls. They will stand up and say, all that pertains to me is working. Everything that I touch works. My way is prosperous. Everywhere I go, favor follows me. And as you declare it, you will see it happen. Because he said, keep me in remembrance of my word. According to your word, you shall be justified. That's the realm of kingship. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, he said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? We have stopped walking in the consciousness of our rulership. God expects us to give commands and to get things done, because he has made us kings and priests, and kings give command. When was the last time you changed things by decree? When was the last time you altered the chain by decree? So the guy goes and prays on the altar, and on the altar he says, God will judge Boko Haram. And then he comes back and he's talking with his friend, and he says, in this country, oh boy, we are finished too. We don't know what will happen anymore. You don't know what will happen. I thought you just came out of your office as a priest and you determined what will happen. Why did you now come out and you say you don't know what will happen? Because you don't know you are a king. My words carry power. I don't say them carelessly. Every time we talk, we provoke change. Because when God was walking on the earth, he said the earth was dark and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God didn't say, what do I do about darkness? He said, light appear. That's how kings function. So what I do on my priesthood office, when I come out, I use my kingly horn to declare it. I can't go and say at the back or on the altar of prayer that you will prosper, and then I see you and I say, Kai, I don't know if things will work for this man. No. I will not uproot what I planted. I will not uproot it. I declare it and it will happen. Even if it doesn't happen immediately, he said, when the cloud be full of rain, it will empty itself upon the earth. Most of us are backward because of the things we have said. This exam is very hard. I will fail. Exam hard? Me that have the mind of Christ. An exam is hard for me. No exam is hard for me. I am going there, I'm writing, and I'm not just passing. I'll be the best. That's the consciousness we carry. So when I'm reading, I'm not reading hoping to pass. I'm reading because I'm the best. I've never known how to struggle on some of these things because I had a healthy mentality growing up. I had a royal mentality. There are many people living in fear. Even before battle come, they have failed. They have failed. I don't care how many people are coming. There is something about me that will make the difference. I don't care. The governor might invite 12 young men, but when I show up, I am different. I know that I'm different. And when I begin to talk, I know the governor will not be able to withstand the wisdom I will speak with. And when I'm done, I know he will look for me. I just know. It's not pride. It is the reality of who I am in Christ. I'm different. I'm not like every other person. Everybody can choose to be what they are, but I'm a king. And kings are nobles. Kings are royal. Kings are not ordinary people. Everywhere they go to, there's a difference. That's why you can't catch me dressed carelessly. You can't catch me dressed shabbily. I'm not just talking it, I know it. Everywhere I go to, I'm dressed corporate, because anything can happen. Anything can happen. You will never catch me walk carelessly or talking carelessly. I don't know how to do it. You see many people sit down and they are talking anyhow, carelessly in the public. It has not dawned on you that you are a king. When you are a king, before you go out, you polish your shoes. Yes, you don't just fly your shirt, you wear a tie, and you wear a tie to match. And when you come to a place, you don't just talk when everybody is shouting. You wait for them to talk, and then you take your time, and then you address them, because you are a king. When you speak, you create change. How can I be going for lectures and I'm wearing a t-shirt and sagging my jeans? Who is that? No, those are beggars. It's beggars. People who work in the garage, they can sag their jeans because they don't have time to belt it. Royals don't function like that. When I'm coming to the lecture hall, I'm well dressed. When I was in Uniagric, I wore suits. I wore suits for lectures. And my lecturers will look at me and say, young man, are you studying medicine? I say, what do you mean by studying medicine? Is it medicine that validates me? Imagine this guy. But look at the medical students. There's a way they function. They know that they are the hope of the world. So you don't catch them joining to lecture carelessly the way you go. They wear their tie and suit and they come for lecture. They are not even many. because they want to interact at a higher level of intelligence. But it's not your cause that determines who you are. In Christ Jesus, you are a king. You are a king. You are a king. And as a young graduate, I went to address medical students. And when I came there, I spoke to them as one that comes with the wisdoms of heaven. I didn't talk to them as one that studied what other men studied. I spoke as someone that carried a crystallized wisdom from the realm of the spirit. I know I will marvel them. See, as I'm talking now, if I want to wow you, I can change this place. I have practiced this thing. I know who I am. I won't come to your campus and you catch me on gin and share, say, oh boy, what did it happen? No, no, no. When you rush to me and say, hey, how far? I will keep quiet and wait. Coordinate yourself. How are you doing, sir? God bless you. There's a way nobles behave. It's not our fault, it's who we are. Have you seen a princess running up and down? I beg, wait for me now. Why you they do like this? What do you mean? Wait for who? If you can't wait, go. I will come alone. It's a mentality. This is how you rule your world. You will never see a German or an American begging. They know they are of the first world country. So even if they come to your nation, even if they don't have what to eat, they carry their integrity. They know who they are. And you that came from heaven, you are acting as if you are hopeless. No. When you live here, you gather your life together. There are some people who can't even brush. When they talk to you, say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they are troubling you with their mouth. They are all over the place talking and spitting on everybody. About what did happen? Where that lecture note? Sir, please go and brush. I know some of you, they have never ironed their clothes. They just pick it, throw on themselves. The clothes they sweated on yesterday, they throw it on their body today. And they come, they say, we will change the world. Which world? Which world? You prepare for the world. Some people are always taken off guard because they don't know who they are. And it is our beggarly mentality that makes us remain beggars. Even the things that should be for us, we lose them because we don't know who we are. You are a king. And if you are a king, it means you have the power to change your world. So from today, you don't say Benue is finished. You say no. The next generation of Benue citizens are coming. Those who will rule this world. When we go to the economic front, we will change things. We will change things in government. We will change things in ministry. I told them, I will not wait until I'm 50 to begin to pack stadia. No, 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 no. At a tender age, you can hold conferences and you will pack a whole stadium. And you will come out and address people as though you are a 50-year-old man. It doesn't take age, it takes grace. You come home, they say things are not working. Say it's well. It's well. Even while you are thinking of what to do, don't lose your coordination. It is well. And then you are panting in the spirit. Kataka. You are looking for the right words. Marakado, Frekida, Parask, Lato, Barakade. When the word comes, you don't declare it. You said that thing you were saying that time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I change it. And the person is wondering, what do you mean? I change it. Where the word of the king is, there is power. That's who you are. Your mother is crying, there's no food. Mama, it's well. Don't worry, it's well. Not to go and put your body to prostitution. You, a princess, you can't even see my body. It's well covered because I'm royal. I'm royal. Mama, it's well. Don't worry, things will change. Things will change. You tell her, let's hold hands, and you change things in the spirit. That's how kings behave. Me. Enter exam hall and I'm telling you, oh boy, I beg, open and make I see now. Open what? Me. My fate is not in the hand of any man. I took it myself because I take the responsibility. I'm a king. Number four. Who are you? God, you can't take this one, so I will leave it. Go and research it. You can't bear this.
When God created you, do you know what He created? You are a God. I know your faith can't bear it. He said, Elohim sat down. And he said, let us make a species called man in our own image, after our likeness. Let us make this being in our own image, after our likeness. And men didn't understand what he created until Jesus showed up and began to quote what David said. He said, ye are gods. And the reason you are God, he also went further to explain it, in case you call it a heresy. He said, you are gods because you are the children of the Most High. It's a law in the spirit that every being births after its kind. So when a goat gives birth to a goat, you don't need to name it, it's automatically a goat. He said, because you are the children of the Most High God, he said, you are gods. This is a realm superior to the realm of kingship. In the realm of God, nothing dies. In the realm of God, nothing fails. In the realm of God, everything works. Because all it takes is for you to become a part of it. When God came into the world, the Bible said the world was desolate. All God needed to do was to connect himself to it, and it began to work. When Jesus came into the realm of men, they were dead. All Jesus needed to do was become man. The moment Jesus became man, there was salvation for man. Because anything a God is involved in works. Ye are gods. Because you are the children of the Most High God. Now that you know you are a son, you are a priest, you are a king, and you are a God, how can you not take your word? Whether you like it or not, it's your inheritance to take your word. He said, ask of me, I will give you the nations for an inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. It is your right to inherit the nations. It is your right to change your world. It's not something you are begging for. The moment you show up, you create change. You cannot be on this campus and the campus remain the same unless you don't know who you are. But you see, there is a mentality that you need to carry. There's a mentality. The first mentality you need to carry is that things don't fail with you. But things also will not work by chance. For things to work, you must work them. So if it means staying up all night, you will stay up to make it work. This is why every wealthy man in the world sleeps late and wakes up early. Because there is too much to do. Why ordinary men are looking for money, wealthy men are looking for time. Because time is never enough. They go to bed by 1, they wake up by 3. I heard that Jeff Bezos wakes up 3:30. Warren Buffett, over 80 years old, still wakes up by 4 a.m. Mark Zuckerberg wakes up by 4 a.m. You will use alarm until it becomes part of your life. Carlos Slim wakes up by 3:30 a.m. And they have kept this schedule for more than 10 years. These are children of the world, but they understand how this realm works. That when men sleep, leaders stay awake. The reason they are able to lead their generation is because they are awake while others are sleeping. So this is why wealthy men don't even work for money, because they send their money to work for them while they spend their time thinking. So you don't need to be awake doing anything. Just be awake and set your mind on a vision. After a while, the boundary of your mind begins to open, and in a short period of time, Makodi will become too small. And then you are saying, no, now this thing we want to do, Makodi is too small. How do we take Benue? And after a while, your mind enlarges again. And you come to a point to say, no, now we have to gather all the youth in Nigeria. How can we be talking Makodi? Come on, our government is failing. People are being attacked. Headsmen are all over the place. How can I mobilize all the youth in Nigeria? All of a sudden, you remember your friend from Enugu. You remember your friend from Kano. And you begin to call them. Let's have a national youth summit. And they are saying, how will it work? You say, don't worry. Why won't it work? You, who and who do you know? And before you know what is happening, you who was thinking Makodi, now you start thinking Nigeria. And in a short period of time, you gather youth from 36 states of this country. And even the president's attention will be drawn to it. Because any man who makes impact commands the attention of kings. But it begins with enlargement of the mind. And the way to enlarge the mind is to invest in time, not clothes. It's to invest in time, not shoes. task this brain and get it to think. Leave those your friends that distract you with unnecessary gist and gossip. Go and sit alone. Make it a habit to sit alone. You may not have an executive suit to sit. Go and sit under a tree. And if you don't even have a thought, tell God, give me something to think about. I must make a change in my world. They may call it ambition. It's a notable ambition. There is nothing wrong in having a good ambition. Every man that lacks ambition is already dead. But your ambition should not be selfish. It should be something that includes others. And then your ambition will be worthwhile. Go and sit somewhere. When people go to bed by 10, that's when you wake up and say, no. Put the Facebook aside. Put the YouTube aside. Put the WhatsApp aside. And think. That's the sign. Put your alarm and begin to wake up by 4 a.m. When you wake up, go and take your shower. Don't wake up and lie in the bed and sleep again. Go and take your shower. Dress up. Very well as if you are going out. You will discover that everywhere is still quiet. The reason everywhere is quiet is because only few are leaders. Followers are still sleeping, but leaders stay awake because they need to command their own. And before followers begin to wake up, leaders are very poor for many hours. For many hours. That's how we rule this world. We rule this world by increasing the capacity of our mind. It's not just by praying the Holy Ghost. It's by thinking and thinking too. We rule this world by hard work. At this level, you shouldn't be willing to pass a time. That's the level of an average student.
You come to school, you have many things to do. So by first month, you have recited everything about your lecture note. How many pages are your lecture note? Your lecture note sometimes are 10 pages and you are doing 8 courses. 10 times 8 is 80 pages. Your mind can't retain 80 pages. Then you can't take your world. In 1 month, you recite everything in your lecture note and throw it away. Tell the lecturer anywhere he wants is to check questions from. Do you know why most of the greatest billionaires in the world dropped out of school? It's because the exams were too cheap. The lecturers were boring them. When Bill Gates was already designing softwares, they were teaching them low programming language. You want him to sit in that class and be hearing ancient programming language when he's thinking of a new software that will change the world. It was boring to him, so he left. So before you say, exam is not easy, you think it's easy, even billionaires left school. They didn't leave school because they failed the exam. They left school because school was boring. They knew more than the lecturers. They were students, but they knew more than their lecturers. While the lecturer is still talking about basic programming language, you are already doing complex algorithm because you were going for lessons on YouTube. And then what the lecturer is doing, you go, no, you didn't put this dot here. Okay, no worry. You are still reading books. Leaders are ahead of their generation because they work hard. They work hard. If your phone is not a research institute, then your phone was a waste. It's not just a device, it's a research institute. You can study many courses on YouTube while you're on your phone. Instead of you to be thinking of how to prepare acid and base, they taught that thing in 1940. That's what you are still learning. And you think you can create a change in 2020. No, you leave that level for those who are still reading above you. And then you go on YouTube and find out what are the evolution. That's how leaders lead. They work very hard. Very, very hard. Can I surprise you? Bill Gates slept in his office because of hard work. Jeff Bezos slept in his office because of hard work. Carlos Slim slept. Most of these wealthy men, they studied and worked until they slept, woke up. For many years of their lives, their study room was their bedroom. Most of these guys kept close to 16 hours of working every day. That's why today, even though they are billionaires, they don't remember. It doesn't occur to them that they are billionaires. They have forgotten about wealth by pouring themselves into their vision. Meanwhile, you have not yet bettered a vision to even walk upon. And you say you will change this world. You will go nowhere. We have a lazy generation who can't even read a notebook. A notebook, a lecture note of 15 pages. You can't read it. And you are talking about going into the world. What are you doing with your time? Laziness. They sleep for 8 hours in a day. They talk with their friends for 4 hours. They are on Facebook for 4 hours. At the end of the day, in 1 week, they spend 30 minutes reading. That's why even when they are 30 years old, their knowledge is 5 years. Everything they don't know, they are asking questions because they've never invested in themselves. You can't change your world just by praying. You will change your world by imbibing value systems that have no regard for a Christian, a Muslim, or a pagan, because they are universal laws. And one of those laws is hard work. You may not have a vision you are working on now, which is very bad, but at least you should have mastered all your lecture notes before exam comes. At this level, you should look at your lecture note, and because of what the teacher is teaching, you can predict where he will set questions from. You have so mastered the lecture note that your teacher himself will be careful when he's coming to class, because he knows if he makes any mistake, he will know. Those days in Uni Agri, there was a young guy called Fadu who was in mechanical engineering. They say one of their hardest courses was fluid mechanics in 500 level. Every other student had a C. Fadu was scoring 96. So they could not even moderate the result. His mates began to hate him because he was far above excellence. They took hard work. Many nights they are alone with their book when others are sleeping. That's how you go into all the world. There are many people today, they have been Christians, they've not even as much as read the Bible. But the message they heard an apostle preach, they come somewhere, walk like the apostle, act like the apostle, and preach the message, and they think they will go anywhere. They are crying now that government is failing. What do you know about leadership? You should go online and study. How did the 25, the first world nation, how did they come about becoming first world nation? Where were they 20 years ago? What did they do? You are already thinking innovatively. So you are not a burden to your generation. They know nothing. They call you now to give a speech where the governor is sitting. You begin to stutter. And then you say you want to change your world. You gather your friends who you know more than 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, and when you talk, they say, "Oh boy, you are good, you are good." And then you are walking like this. You say, "God, accept us with your 5 friends, and all of you are mediocres." Meanwhile, the world we are talking about, there are kings that you must address, and then you come for service. All you are looking for is impartation that will not translate to nothing. You say you are a law student. By now, you should be reading law reports. Not struggling to pass exam. This is how leaders grow. Men who change their world. This is how they function. While they are in the university, they know all their errors can be tolerated. So they make all their mistakes. If you go to many advanced nations, it's in the university that most of the innovations come out from. But in our own universities today, it is failure upon failure. We are hoping that when we get a job, we'll be in internship for 8 months before we learn how to use bulldozer. Before we learn how to use clipper, we'll go on internship. Meanwhile, our mates in other nations from high school, they are already designing the softwares that we use in our phones. And then when we come for conferences like this, everybody, you think it's all about praying in tongue? You are bereft and bankrupt mentally. You can never change your world. How many of you here are eligible for scholarship? There are many scholarships to nations that can profit you, but many can't even qualify. So even the things that are free, we can't qualify for them. How can we go to a world of competition and survive? On campus, you have a scholarship for free master's degree, free PhD, just to pass your exam. You can't win the scholarship. Is it in the world where everything is competed for that you will succeed? Because we lack the culture of hard work. Very simple values. If they even say there's a meeting by 4, the leader comes by 5:30. And every day, no meeting can hold. And he thinks he wants to succeed. Many people come for you to impart them. They say they want the grace you carry. Do you know how many times you travel in a week? Do you know the diligence it takes to minister to thousands of people 3-4 times every week? And you have been doing it for 3-4 years. You don't have an idea how many places I've ministered before coming here. And as I'm leaving here on Thursday, I'm going back to Numa to minister in a crusade. On Friday, I'll be in Ghana. As I'm returning from Ghana, that's how I'm traveling till November. I don't have any free weekend as far as I'm concerned. In the last 3 years, I've not had any free weekend. And intermittently, there were weekdays that I also have to travel. You think it's now that I'll come and read? And then you think you will step into things by impartation? I've been talking to you for close to 2 hours. I've not consulted my book.
will think it's just an anointing. This mind has been taxed. There are many times I look at speeches, I recite them. There are many times I carry scriptures, I recite chapters. I'm not going to preach anywhere. I'm just developing my mind. Many times I close my eye and I begin to meditate on John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. It was not that light, but He came that through Him that men may believe. He came unto His own. His own received Him not. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Sons born not by the will of the flesh, not the will of blood, but of man. I keep reciting, not because I want to preach. I'm just developing my mind because I'm a preacher. No culture of hard work. We can't sweat. We are looking for shortcut. And then we'll say we'll create change. If they make you a manager in ARIC today, what do you know? If they make you a commissioner now, what do you know? If they give you a business now, what do you know? Even the school where you are, if they make you a lecturer, can you teach on that level? There is a wrong understanding. We make men useless and lazy because of impartations, and will not teach them the culture of hard work. The guy can talk from morning till night, but if he goes to class for 30 minutes, he wants to sleep. And then he comes home and says, oh boy, this thing knows you. Because he has already prepared his mind to cheat in the exam. If I catch you cheating, you'll be expelled. Because it will be the reason why many pregnant women will die during cesarean sessions. It will be the reason why many planes will crash. If I catch you cheating, there's no begging. You will be expelled. Go home and learn how to farm. At least for education, you have chosen the place of defeat. So go and learn farming. Maybe you will excel in farming. Corrupt world. When the lecturer becomes tame, they say he's a wicked man. There is a culture of focus. Can you put your mind on one thing for 1 week? Everybody sitting here, can you leave this conference and set your mind on one thing for 1 week without losing focus or getting it scattered? That's why many people in leadership, the moment they leave the university, they become nobodies. They don't know the pains of succeeding. A young generation distracted by everything. How many things can you set your affection on, and your fire, your emotion for that thing will burn for 1 week? Let's say your book, or let's say a particular thing you want to research on, and you say, for 1 week, I will study this thing until I master it. I won't even take it far. Can you take one song now, one song, and learn the lyrics and sing that song? Is there enough focus to just pick a song and say, I like this song, and understand the lyrics and be able to sing the song? We are so disoriented that nowadays people cannot even start anything and complete it. And we say we want to change our world. When you talk, they say the spiritual, the government of the angelic realm. And there is a necessity for knowledge and mental power to change your world. It doesn't come by impartation. It comes by hard work. It comes by focus. It comes by diligence. Most of you will need to leave here and tell yourself, before the exam next week, I will master all my lecture notes. And tell your friends, thank you, I enjoy your company, but in the next 2 weeks, I want to be alone. And then no matter how that team pulls you to go and meet your friend, you will sit down and say, I will die here. Even if you are reading it and it's not entering your head, be reading it. And you will read all your lecture notes 10 times before the exam. And let's see how dull your brain is, that you will not retain 50%. After reading your lecture notes 10 times, even if your name is dummy, if your brain doesn't retain 50%, come back and tell me I don't know what I'm saying. Who told you are dumb? You are just not wise. So you are not redeeming the time because you don't know the days are evil. The first impartation God will bring to men tonight is to make them wise men. wise men that understand the times and the season. Men that understand the systems of this world have no regard for title. They have regard for innovations that are crystallized from the labor room of hard work, focus, consistency, and diligence. Wise men that know the courtesy of royalty. Wise men that understands the tenacity of innovation. Wise men that understands the diligence of leadership. Wise men that understand the technocracy of leadership and governance. There is a dimension of wisdom that must come upon people so that they will know what to do. They will know when to tell their friends to wait. They will know when to go off the internet. They will know when to lock the door behind them and put value in themselves. I was listening to Robert Liardon, and he said, my librarian told me I've read 14,000 books. I said, no wonder you are a good writer. There's no way you can read 14,000 books and you will not utter one. It's not possible. Even the books you have read will compare you to write your own. I read about John Wesley. He said, my day is too busy that I pray 3 hours before I start my day. There's no way you can pray like that and not pioneer something spiritual. There are certain levels of commitment that occasion civilizations. There are certain levels of commitment that bet dimensions. You don't need to have an agenda. You are too serious for God not to commit something to your hand. You are too focused not to bet something. You are too committed for things not to come to you. That's how we change this world. There are many people today who have titles. If you even ask them, you are an apostle. Who is an apostle? They don't know. You are a prophet. Who is a prophet? They don't know. And we want to change this world. We are deluded. But there must be a change. 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 Because not all of you will stand on the pulpit. Some of you will become rulers in the economic world. Some of you will become rulers in government. Some of you will become rulers in the academia. I told you, Apostle Ongu is an apostle to the government. I tell you, Buhari knows his name. Because these are one of the thorns in his flesh. This is a thorn in his flesh. Not for anything evil, but for justice, for equity. For justice, for equity. They fight against marginalization. We don't hate you as a person, but we refuse injustice. We refuse lack, absence of equity. You must deliver on your mandate. We have nothing against you as a person, but we insist that your office must bring the requisite justice that is a necessary part of governance. That's an apostle. I want to pray for you now. Every billionaire in the world only spends 30% of his money. They live off only 30% of their money. If they have exhausted 30%, that hunger should kill them. They invest 70% of their money. Are you aware? It's not about how much they have. It's a culture that wisdom has taught them. Do you know that 2/3 of every CEO in the world has a military training, and 2/3 of them have a training in martial art because they consciously want to learn discipline? No great man became great by chance. Not one. there is an investment of wisdom that needs to come upon you today, so that the foolishness that robbed your generation of greatness will not affect you. There is an impartation of an excellent spirit that needs to come upon you today to change your story and the story of your bloodline and the story of your lineage. There is a hand of God that needs to come upon you tonight. Asking for wisdom now. Lift your hands toward heaven. One thing the spirit of wisdom does is that it imparts the power to get wealth. Anywhere you see wisdom at work, wealth naturally gravitates there. Number two thing wisdom does is that it releases upon you the mantle for leadership. Any man walking in wisdom naturally becomes the leader. You can't fight it. There is a grace for wealth and leadership that this wisdom impartation will bring most of you into. Some of you, ancestral poverties will be broken. Some of you, reproach will be rolled away. Now lift your hands.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.